So we're talking about faith and have been talking about faith for several weeks now. And it's a key component in your eternal destination. And continues to be, even as a Christian, doesn't it? If we do not have faith, we're in big trouble. If we revert back to flesh, right, we're in big trouble. So our faith is what we walk by. And the world is going to launch every attack at your faith that you can imagine. Try and convince you, persuade you, that what the Bible has said, what God has said, is not true. And boy, the onslaught is so in your face now, you'd have to be dead to literally miss it. I mean, now we got the Supremes going to take the case of gay marriage. You know? I mean, in the United States of America. I wonder how you think they're going to rule. They're going to go, which way is the wind blowing? Oh, that's what we rule. We've got to find a way to support that. You know? Now, whether it's their responsibility, some may claim, under the, whatever. All I'm saying is it's just everywhere. Just everywhere with the pressure. Because the Bible says that one man, one woman, right? Can two men multiply? Can two women multiply without the assistance of some? No. Cannot be done. How is mankind going to be perpetuated? Won't happen. So, again, it's, to me, it never made sense before I was a Christian. I'm going to be honest with you. It just never made sense. Okay, so you have an attraction. All right, whatever. You know, but it just never made sense to me that I had to somehow accept that and just ignore everything else that was in my brain that was saying this just doesn't seem to make sense to me. So if there's one thing in our culture today that is quickly being shut off as an avenue of shall we say, debate, that's that topic. You cannot debate it. If you bring it up and you want to present your case, what do they say? Hater. You're a hater. Because you don't agree with this, you're a hater, so the obvious end result of your hate is you will want to hurt them, so we have to put you in prison before you hurt them. And so that's what they do. So, you know, you may be saying, what does this got to do with faith? It has a lot to do with faith. Brother, because Satan's figuring out where you are in your faith. And he's coming at you and he's going to say, will you stand? If you're not persuaded, you will not stand. Okay? And we're going to move on to some other verses here this morning. First comments.
They go even more so. They remove the basis of it all. You know, why shouldn't gay marriage, you know, two guys like each other, why shouldn't they be happy? You know, that's what they push. They push that, but they what they've done is, you know, they don't want you to discuss or have any sort of debate over that. But they won't even let you mention, at least in the public systems, school systems specifically, you know, God or Christianity or that evolution might not be true. Those, the God and or Christianity and evolution are taboo topics. There's no discussion, there's no debate, you just can't even bring it up. And so when you remove the foundations from the argument, foundations of why it's wrong, then you're left to mankind reasoning on his own and every man doing what is right in his own eyes. And scripturally and even historically, that turns out poorly. So
I would agree. Okay, I just brought that up because it's just an issue of where our faith is going to be challenged. Now, brethren, I have no desire to go out and do any harm to a homosexual or to a liar or to a thief or to an idolater or to a coward. These are all people end up, by the way, in the lake of fire. You know, I have no desire to do anything to them in a physical sense. I would like the opportunity to present to them God's strong case, as you would, right? But as was pointed out by Larry, now you can't even, they're shutting it down, so we can't even present the case. So our faith, brethren, Our faith. By the way, I liked your little focus group this morning, Mike. But anyway, we had a focus group here this morning. I just want to make sure that we all understand this faith thing is pretty important. I think you guys actually understand it. But it's going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged. And as we've been going through some of the studies we've been going through, you know, most of us here, we're not overtly, directly challenged. Like when we did the worship service, most of us are, that makes sense. It makes sense. Because we've been taught it over and over and over. But as I tried to point out to you, as we bring that type of information forward and actually show people that worship and service are two different words. I mean, bow down and get up and serve, that's their opposites, aren't they? When you really think about it. Bow down. Now get up and do something. Hold on. I'm supposed to be bowing down. Remember how I've talked about that? But people will continue to tell you, no, it's synonyms. It's synonyms. Worship is the same as, no, it's not. So it's really troubling for them. And again, so what's your faith going to be on that? Are you going to go with what you've always thought it was? Or are you going to go with what God says it is? So we have lots of people that get rubbed the wrong way and they don't like it. So faith, we tell people faith is persuasion. That's going to challenge people, isn't it? When you tell them you can't go off of your emotion, your personal experience, it means nothing. It means nothing. That challenges them and they get upset. I run into it more and more, and it's all about feelings, as you guys are well aware. And that's not what it's supposed to be about. Can your feelings come in behind what you've been convinced to be true? Absolutely is. As I believe it was Brother Clint mentioned last week, one of the guys that mentioned that. Yes. So, in any case, what are you convinced of? Are you convinced that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, you know, usually how we demonstrate that is when we butt up against that little thing that rubs us the wrong way. And it could be any multitude of topics. And again, I'm just kind of reviewing last week a little bit what we talked about. It could be a multitude of topics. I told you for the ladies in our culture today, there's some great difficulty for them to walk in faith. I got to listen to him. Yeah. I have to call him Lord. Sarah called Abraham Lord. You know, okay, ladies, no answers. Don't want any answers. But you need to ask yourself, would I really look at my husband and call him Lord like Sarah did Abraham? Where am I at? Do I really trust God enough to follow this guy? And that's really what I'm asking you. You notice how I frame that. Do I trust God enough, believe God enough to follow him, even if he makes a mistake or two? You know, that's a tough one for the ladies. Right? And then for us guys, it's all about activities that we have to put aside and keep things of the church the priority. For guys, if we're honest, that's usually where it comes down for us, is where are we going to put the church in terms of priority? A lot of guys in the churches out there, and I'm going to use that term loosely, but also talk about the Restoration Brotherhood. I mean, they put children or family above the Lord's church. Now, let me give you an example. Does the scripture say fathers were supposed to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? That means we have oversight and ultimate responsibility as well. We should be involved. Should do that. We are responsible for that. Does it say, fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord from 9 a.m. to noon on Lord's Day? Should say that? No. Okay. Are we supposed to teach our children falsehood? No. Are we supposed to go out and deliberately put our children in a place where everything that the Scripture tells us about God, where they're at, is going to try and upend and turn that on its head? You guys know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the humanist temples called public school system. Okay, how many restoration movement bodies of Christ are willing to put forth the effort to educate their children Monday through Friday, let alone just Sunday from noon to noon, from 9 to noon? Just using, you know, loosely general hours. Very few. Some can't do it because they don't have the children. Some can't do it because they don't have the person. I mean, I understand there can be issues. But let's say you have the ability and you choose not to. And then somebody comes and talks to you about that. Like maybe at a national prayer group meeting. And they have a discussion with you about the need for Christian education is the only hope in America for our youth. Okay? Well, I've had that discussion with somebody who was a pretty big player back in the Midwest in the restoration movement, loosely utilized here, in a Christian church, I believe, is where he was at, somewhere back in Ohio, and it doesn't matter. But I can tell you, we had a conversation with this individual, me and Luke, and we get through this deal, and we're telling about the need for, you know, and get them out of that humanist temple and what they're teaching. They're trying to undermine everything that the Bible says, and how can your kid go there for, how many hours they go a day in public school? Six? Is that reasonable? Six, eight? Somewhere near? Okay, so 40 hours a work week, basically. Go there and hear all the lies about evolution, right, and everything, all the dates and everything, and then they come and ask you, well, how come the Bible doesn't talk about this? It must be wrong because they say this has been proven to be this old, and the Bible says it's only, see how the child's mind is already, you know, and you deliberately put them in that system. And then you wonder why your child goes haywire at 12, 13, 14 years old. Okay? But we had a discussion with the guy, and we get right down to it, and we go, well, you know, shouldn't we be dragging our kids out of those humanist temples and putting them there so we can raise them up as warriors? You know, we're talking about all the different passages that talk about spiritual warfare and all this. Well, if my son wasn't the captain of the football team, ding! Come right out of his mouth. Exactly, Michael. Exactly. Who was his God? I have to elevate my son. I'm more concerned about my son and what he's going to get than about what's right and what the Lord's going to get. See, so this challenges people. This can hit us where we live. Now, let me tell you, personal level, me, when we came into the church, our desire, the whole reason we came into the church, and I've told this story about Trina LaFountain sitting right over there. If it wouldn't have been for her and my wife talking and Trina letting her know about school here, because we were looking to get Brenna out of the public school system. You notice I said Brenna. I had another daughter in the public school system, but I wasn't so concerned about her. Okay. She meets Trina. Trina tells Kathy. We meet Mark Badger. Mark Badger studies with us. Mark Badger shows us the truth. We become Christians. But it was all because we were interested in getting our child out of the public school system because we saw what was coming. We get Brenna into the out of the public school system. Yay! Stick her here, and we leave our oldest daughter in the public school system. Whoa! Schizophrenia. What's going on? Oh, my daughter was very social. She was actually a decent little volleyball player involved in the volleyball team at Billings West Humanist School. Okay? And, you know, I didn't want to drag her out, and then finally it hits me. What am I doing? I cannot leave her there. Out she comes. Oh, and she just loved that. At 15 years old, 16, sophomore. I drug her out of the public school system, put her here. She was the first graduate from this school, by the way. Right, but I'm going to tell you, that first year after we drug her out of that public school system, you want to talk about our faith being tested. She's writing letters to her brother, to others. Mom and dad are going nuts. Or doing it, you know. I'm telling you the truth. Ouch. See, everybody has a little subject you're not supposed to talk about. Right? So this is the thing. That's what I'm telling you. When we talk about faith, brethren, what's your faith picture? Now, you're going to have to make the decisions on what you're going to do in your life. I'm not going to make them for you. But I'm going to tell you that things happen when you decide, well, I know the Lord says this is the way I should do it, but I think I can get by doing it this way. Understand, if you don't get the right results, why? Larry.
A lot of people look at it and they go, well, I made it through the public school system. I'm fine, you know. Well, and that's actually a matter of debate because I made it. but what they don't realize is what you're saying is so true. There's an agenda in the public school system. If you don't think it's right, and if you think, hey, it could never happen in Montana, sure, California, New York. Now, there was a thing, there was something that hit the news. It was a couple of years ago, and I think it did die finally, which is good. But there was an agenda. There was a sex ed curriculum that was being pushed up in Helena. And I remember hearing about it. It made the national media because it was so bizarre. They were going to start teaching kids as little as kindergarten and first grade about sexual orientation, about, you know, I mean, and it was this all-encompassing program that would go from the day they walked into school till they graduated. And, I mean, the first thing that struck me, even from a worldly sense, is what first grader is going to have a clue what you're talking about? You know, but the thing is, they had an agenda. Someone had an agenda. So, and that's radical. That is extremely radical when you're starting an agenda, you know, a sexual education program aimed at first graders. That's messed up, you know why? But there is an agenda. So, you know, what Kevin is saying for, you know, anyone online or anything, it ain't like school. I mean, even school back when I was a kid was a little wonky, but it's a it seemed to be a little more conservative today. Though all brakes are off. They're going at it full tilt, and that curriculum probably will arise again in 10 years. Usually, there's what's called the icebreaker, the one that takes the hits and gets called ridiculous. You know, but then they follow it up, and 10 years later, once people are acclimated to it, it goes through no problem. So, just be careful.
It's called, I'm trying to remember what Gramsci said, the Italian guy that was a socialist, Marxist, Leninist. He called the long march step by step through the institutions to bring them down. Mike, you had
it. Yeah, there's just something for us to keep in mind is there's no neutrality. Right. I mean, Jesus said you either scatter or you gather, and that's it. And so there's nothing on the face of this earth that's neutral. It's either for the kingdom of God or it's against it. And it's important for us to have that perspective. And I'm to the point where I even think about, you know, the continuing education too, not just through high school, but you get to the college level, you know, the elite learning centers. And now not only have we're really pushing that agenda, we've added a whole other element of peer pressure, and we removed the kids from the parents' home where they don't have any of that influence unless they go get it on their own. And so I would continue that word of caution even beyond that. I think it takes an exceptional kid to be able to handle some of those things, and I don't think that, well, the scripture says it this way, take heed, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Man, you need to have a very sincere understanding and evaluation of yourself to see if you're going to be able to withstand that. So
I agree. And Super Dave, you had a comment, didn't you? I'll get back to you.
Touching on what Larry said about the public schools and their sex education, they actually encourage you to go out and experiment in both genders. I mean, they encourage homosexuality as well. And I know that because I lost my son that way.
Thank you. Yeah, it can happen. It's really being pushed. So again, where are we going to stand? Oh, I thought I was able to move on. We got one more comment. I got to get my pedometer, see how much I'm doing a day.
You know, to Larry's point, you know, he had said that they introduced something really radical, knowing that it's probably going to get its head cut off, but also understanding that it just kind of paves the way so that they can subtly, you know, get it instituted. And these are the things that they're indoctrinating children with, you know. I'll just remind everybody that these people are willing to fight for their agenda. They're willing to stand outside of courthouses, hand out flyers, rally people together, march on Washington. You know, they've infiltrated the churches, and the churches, that, and I use that term loosely, in America, are pushing the same agenda. Suddenly it's all right, and it always ends up subtly. You know, it starts out subtle, and it ends up at the pulpit. And it's happening in church buildings across America. They've twisted and distorted doctrines. And, you know, to one of Kevin's point, points that, you know, when you start sitting down with individuals, they not only twist the scripture, they twist the Greek. Everybody turns into Greek translators and scholars these days. So, I mean, you know, this world is on fire, guys. You know, I know that it upsets people and it convicts and angers people, you know, to see what's going on around us. But it's been going on around us. It's going to continue going on around us. And that's why one-on-one Bible studies are so important. Because you can't do a Billy Graham style ministry and expect solid results and pat people on the back and say, good luck, you're a Christian now. You got to sit down and do one-on-one discipleship. Walk them through the truth. Let them make a decision. And then continue walking with them, because they're going to be under attack, you know, for many years to come. Consider what you had to endure after you became a Christian, and have compassion on the people around you, because they're going to go through the same fiery ordeals. And high school is different now than it was when I went to high school. It's much worse now. And these new Christians that are coming in are probably going to go through a worse ordeal than what we went through when we became Christians.
A lot more out there in the open that you have to battle. Michael.
When I went to school in the 50s and early 60s, before the ACLU got involved with everything, there was nothing. There was nothing about this. Not a word.
We were still based upon biblical principles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's a reason why they attacked that. And, okay, I wonder if I opened a can of worms here.
I just want to make a very clear point. Study your history. You couldn't have had the 1960s without the 1860s. Honestly, you have got to go back. It started 100 years before God was taken out of the school. You cannot have had the 1960s without the 1860s. And you go look at constitutional amendments and you see where the shift of power went from the states to the federal government in the 1860s, and that was to get us where we are. And I know we're talking about faith here, but it bothers me when I hear people blame it on the 1960s. It was three generations before that that paved the way for the 1960s. So
it was the doing away with states' rights. Yeah.
And we all know about, but it's unfortunate with revisionist history. If you go back to what our founding fathers wanted taught in both the lower and upper educational institutions, it was the Word of God. I'm not saying these guys were totally dead on right Christianity, but they knew there had to be a foundational, and that is what made our country great. And it's just, I guarantee that is not taught in any public school today. That you go back to the little grammar that they had Bible verses in it. The Bible, and if you wanted to be an accredited college, I think you had to have a Bible class. I mean, it was total, 100% that. You try to bring that up in any sort of public education system and they'll get uncomfortable quickly.
Okay, so, and you guys have proved my point. What I'm trying to talk about. See, our faith, what are they trying to do? They're trying to erode our faith. When they get rid of all this stuff or prevent all this stuff. So, again, we have to, do we believe this? Now, I look around, I think most of you guys do. Now, listen, new Christians are going to work through issues. You know, my goal isn't to sit up here and start to condemn people. What my goal is to lay it all out and say, here's the information. You're going to have to make your decision. But understand, whichever way you go, there's going to be repercussions. If you walk with God, people are going to call you every name, some to your face, a lot behind your back. All right, it's just going to happen. Or you can succumb to the pressure and say, well, we can get through this because we'll do this. But I'm telling you, invariably, when you don't follow God's word, at some point, whammo, something bad happens. And that's the history of the scriptures. They were written for our instruction and our example, right? So that through the encouragement of the scriptures, it says in Romans 15:4, we might have hope. Where does the encouragement come from? Scriptures. Right? Perseverance. Hope. So, I wanted to make sure that we were aware of that. Let's take a moment here and let's talk about a couple of the other words that I wanted to, or passage I want to look at. We talked about hupakol, placing under hearing. Under hearing. The book of Romans is a great book about law and faith. Amen? It really is. And it's, you know, as has been presented by other men out there, It's a, like a dialogue that Paul's having with an imaginary Jew, going through Jew-Gentile type of conversation, and a Jew that would understand the law, having been pretty well indoctrinated in that, and what's going on with the Gentiles thing, and what's this faith system versus law, and what are you saying law was bad? You know, and all these things are raised. The specter. But the way that the book starts is, I think, and ends is pretty good utilization or example of this word hupakuo. So turn to Romans 1 and then we'll go to Romans 16. Alright. Just read a few verses here at the beginning of the book of Romans. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. There's the promise. You can check and see if he fulfilled that. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace, favor, gift, and apostleship to bring about, what's he supposed to bring about? The obedience of faith. Now that's two different words there. Obey is also what you'll see for pytho, pistis. Okay? Pistos, you'll see that as believe, faith, obey. But the obedience there is that hupakuo, that word. To bring about faith among the Gentiles. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put them under hearing. So again, the foolishness of the message preached. Still, the brethren, you know, and I don't know if you heard what Clint said, but that is so important what he said. What are guys doing? They're trying to do these big group meetings and convert all these people, right? And how is the pattern laid forth in the Scripture? Go make disciples. That's a different process. Any of you that ever made a disciple, you know what that's like. It's not easy. And then once you make them, it doesn't, you know, it isn't just all a rose garden. There's a lot of midnight calls and there's other things that go on, right? You know, the obedience of the faith. So you have to sit down and show them, let them hear it. You know, I'll read that out loud. There's a reason I tell people, read that. There's a reason when I get into Bible studies, I have people read. There's something about the spoken word. And particularly if it comes from their own mouth, it goes out and goes right back in the ear and they go, I heard that. I have never. And then you get comments like, wow, I never. Here's what they say after they read it. Wow, I never saw that before. Here's what they're saying. I never heard that before. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah, and you said it. Wow. The power of the Word of God spoken. Brethren. Now, yes, there is an opportunity for you to have a meeting, you know, and for the power of the spoken word of God to convict somebody and come forward. We've seen it happen at family camps. But it's usually somebody that's already had some introduction to biblical information. But through whom, Paul says, we have received favor, grace, gift, apostleship to bring about the obedience, hupakuo, of faith, and that's pistis. That's going to trace back. That's going to be, I think it's 4102 on that word, but it's going to say back or from 3982, which is pytho. So you have to convince, all right, to bring about this faith, the obedience, to bring them under the hearing. Paul would have to prove to them, the Gentiles, right, that they could be persuaded that this is true. So that's the way it begins, which is the way it ends, Romans 16. And again, I would encourage you, it's Strong's number 5218, hupakuo, and 5219, hupakuo. Okay, those are two words. Do a word study on this. Check out the verses where they show up. Always obey, 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 obey. And it means you learn, you hear, and you submit. That's obedience. What's worship, brethren? What did we figure out worship was? Worship. Remember I told you what Matt Hartford has come to the conclusion? It's submission. Amen? When you bow down before somebody, you're saying, I submit. I think we all recognize that. So, you hear, you go under. You're submitting to it. 16, verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. By the way, Paul didn't have a gospel different from the other guy. He just owned it. Okay? According to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets. How was he doing it? Remember I told you had to convince him? Here's where the answer is. According to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations to obedience of faith. Starts out by saying, here's what we were supposed to do. Closes it by saying, here's what we do. You see that? Put them under the hearing to bring about obedience of faith. In other words, to submit to what they've been persuaded is true. So again, I mean, all of us can go through our lives when we played Christianity, we'll use that terminology. I did, you know, churchianity, however you want to call it. Until you finally saw that, wow, this thing is... And I've told you guys my story. Every time somebody would show me something, I could see that it was true. And it violated my personal understanding and agenda of what faith was. I'd conveniently compartmentalize that. I did that for many years. I told you guys the truth about me. Now see, that's a warning. I keep telling you that story because it's a warning to you. If you hear stuff and you know, oh boy, this has hit me between the eyes, you got two choices. I'm going to deal with this or you compartmentalize it. See? So faith is super, super important. You are persuaded by what you demonstrate you are willing to do. All right. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Another verse where this shows up. It's going to be a very, very familiar one, by the way, for many of us. All right, and this is the one in chapter 1. This is talking about when Jesus comes back, dealing out retribution. Verse 6, we'll catch the context. For after all, in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not put themselves under the hearing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a deliberate choice not to go there. Now, can that happen to somebody in the church? Did you hear what I said? You can get into this thing and you can get out. And we've seen it happen. Somewhere along the line, they decided they were not going to obey, submit themselves, put themselves under the hearing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, I did not fail to deliver the full counsel of God in reference to the gospel. The gospel, some people like to think, and it's been brought out, we saw it in a debate video, death, burial, resurrection. You notice they never talk about appearance, ascension. Well, they assume you understand there was Jesus' appearances, but they never talk about the ascension. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. And then they leave you there. That's all I heard for 20-some years in the mainline denomination. Death, burial, resurrection, death, burial, resurrection, death, burial, resurrection. Every week I'd have to come and they'd make me partake of the communion. And before we'd partake of it, they'd say, like I told you guys before, Lord, we confess that we're in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Well, what do you think I'm going to do the next week? I just confess what I'm going to do. I'm going to sin. Get you coming back. They were a little bit more subtle with their guilt trip than the Catholics. Catholics are just right on top of you. I mean, you know, you can't get away. But, you know, with the mainline denomination, a little more subtle, but they still make sure you feel guilty. You need to keep coming back. You need us. Keep coming back. Right? So, that's what you would do. Every week. Take that communion. So, you know, and we never heard anything. Like I told you, never did they say, open your Bibles and turn to. And the turning point for me was when the guy got up front, told the story about Adam, Eve, and the garden, and he said it was an allegory or a metaphor, that it really never happened. And this was the pastor. That's when I went, And then another guy, his first name was Lee. I'm going to leave his last name off. I think my wife remembers who it was. Raised his hand and said, well, if we can't believe that, basically asked, what are we supposed to believe if that's not true? You know. And anyway, that got me to thinking. And at this time, my wife had been telling me, this place is dead, this place is dead, there's nothing here, there's nothing here. I liked it because I was into the social scene big time. I was grafted right into all the powerful people in that body. I ate dinner with them, hung out with them, campaigned for one of them politically, did all that stuff. I didn't want to leave. Now, Mike W. and I have seen in a household of an individual where we went, we showed him the truth. He was so excited about what he saw, demonstrated it to his wife, but what kept them from moving away from where they are and moving towards the truth is because she was heavily grafted in to that social setting. Am I right, Mike? That's exactly what kept them from going any further. He didn't want to rock the boat because he knew if he pushed, there was going to be trouble in the household. So he let it, and so they're still where they are. Even though he was so excited, I will never forget this, he jumped up off the couch and ran upstairs calling his wife's name. Hey. But nope. Now, she had made a quick calculation. If this is right, those guys are wrong, I'm out of the group, we're done. Like that. She made that calculation. So, faith. You know. Those who do not obey the gospel do not put themselves into the hearing. Yikes. See, so, again, I'm not here to beat you guys up. I'm just here to say we need to be honest. When we talk about faith, you know, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Right? And we have no... That's great. But do we believe what He says?
Amen.
Do we live what He says? Let your behavior be somewhat okay among the Gentiles. It's His excellence. How am I doing? You know, Justin made a great comment last week. You know, your attitude. 2 or 3 days, Satan's got you right where he wants. Everybody around's going, who is this guy? Look at his attitude. You know, and by the way, Justin, you asked about, you know, is that heed in Romans 10 there the same word? It is. It is hupakuo. Romans 10:16. So we're going to close by looking at that. And then next week we're going to actually start looking at the words for faith and believe. And I mean, we're really moving along. I think we've covered 4 scriptures this morning. Now don't be getting used to this. Okay? We want your guys' expectations way up here. Remember, expectation destroys appreciation. So, all right. Here's a verse that I believe that Justin was asking about. And, of course, this is another chapter where people love to lift verses out of context, don't they? We had a guy up here that night that showed up for that debate, quote unquote, who said, you know, this is all you got to do. And verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your heart Jesus the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's over. Is that the only verse that talks about salvation? According to him, it is. And he's forgetting it's already written to people that are saved. So what's the discussion really about here? I think it's about Jew, Gentile. This is the context of what's going on there. All that have done this are saved, brother Jew. Who would be thinking, oh, am I supposed to allow this filthy, rotten Gentile? Yeah. Personally. Now, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction. We're in verse 12 of Romans 10, between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Now remember, if you're a Jew and you've got this Gentile, you're sitting next to him going, what am I doing next to this? Okay. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hey Jew, you got to accept a Gentile. Hey Gentile, you got to accept a Jew. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? I just wish they'd read these verses. Don't you guys? I always say, did Romans 10, that chapter, end right there? No, why don't we keep reading and see if it's got any more information. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear him without a preacher? You got to go into the hearing, don't you? We need a little hoopakuo going on here. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed, hoopakuo, the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Not all. So, and then we have the verse that we all know. So, faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Cool, and then it's just a cool. In Romans 17 there. Romans 10, 17. So there you go. We'll end a class on that this week. Any closing comments? How's your faith? Strong? Faithful. Steadfast. Based upon truth. Thanks for your attention.